Today we're going to be hearing from God's Word through the writings of the Apostle Paul to the Christians who were in the city of Rome many thousands of years ago. We'll be reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. So be listening for the Word of God speaking to us through these verses. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So how important are you? How important are you? I know you're important in some places and to some people, like at your home, to your family, to your friends. I know that. But how important are you on a national and global scale? Do the decisions you make change the course of our nation or rock the governments of the world? My guess is probably not. So how can you tell when a person is really, really important? Well, one way is to see how many people that person has doing things for him or her, because important people tend to have other people doing things for them. You know, as you rise higher and higher in an organization, people have more in the way of administrative assistance kind of orbiting around them to take care of things. And you can tell really, really, really important people by the fact that they have other people who are actually willing to die for them. When you have someone who's willing to die for you, you are really, really important. Like the kings and queens of old who would have their official tasters. Yes, people who would taste the food of royalty before the kings or queens ate it. And why? Well, if you have such an important position as that of king or queen, other people want that position and they're trying to bump you off by whatever means necessary, including poisoning your food. So kings and queens actually had people who were willing to taste their food first. And when the taster tasted the food, the king or queen would wait to see what happened to the taster. And if the taster suddenly fell over dead, the king or queen would call for some different food and a new taster. People were willing to die for kings and queens because they're so important. And then we have the Secret Service of our country. How many of you remember what happened on March 30th, 1981? Anybody? March 30th, 1981. George knows. Anybody else? Vicky knows. I know because I researched this, right? I don't count. On March 30th, 1981, there was an attempted assassination of President Ronald Reagan by John Hinckley, who was in a deranged way trying to impress actress Jodie Foster. And many of us have seen that video, right, of Reagan coming out of the Washington Hilton Hotel, and he raises his arm to wave to the media and the crowd that was there, and then suddenly the gunshots, and before we even knew what was happening, Secret Service agents threw their bodies over the president and then pushed him into the limo, which sped off to the hospital. Those Secret Service agents were willing to die for the President of the United States. They were willing literally to take a bullet for him so that he could live. And as we, well, most of us, I'm sure, know, President Reagan survived that assassination attempt and went on to be president for quite a while. But he would not have survived, most likely, if it hadn't been for people willing to die for him, the Secret Service. Is there anyone willing to take a bullet for you. I mean, literally, take a bullet for you. Most of us probably really have to stop and think about that one. The President of the United States of America doesn't have to stop and think about that. He knows. He's got the Secret Service. But what about you? What about me? As far as I know, you didn't come in here with a group of agents that are even at this moment hiding behind the walls and up in the sound room and ready to spring into action should someone or something threaten your life. Unless you have this secret identity that I don't know about. But as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you with full assurance, while you might not have someone willing to take a bullet for you, you do have someone who's willing to take a cross for you. And that's God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Now, taking a bullet is bad enough. We know what a bullet can do to the human body. But crucifixion was, and still is, one of the most cruel, if not the most cruel, ways to end someone's life. We get our word excruciating from the word that's the root of our English word cross, as in excruciating pain. Being crucified was just a nasty, nasty way to go. And Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, was willing to suffer and die in that way for you and for me. I've heard one preacher say that Jesus Christ is like our own personal spiritual secret service agent, willing to die for us, not to spare us from physical death, which we must all face, but to spare us from spiritual death, which is even worse. And if you stop and think about it, what would our faith be without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's really the centerpiece of our faith. That's what really gives it life and vitality and transforming power. That God was willing to do this for us, experiencing excruciating pain, so that we might be forgiven. God taking the punishment due us for our sin, our waywardness, our rebelliousness, our staunch desire to do things our way instead of God's way. God took that punishment on the cross, so that every sin we have ever committed, are committing, or will commit can be forgiven. Think about that. Every sin forgiven. No longer having to live in fear, and I mean being terrified of God, knowing that God has forgiven us. Without the death of Jesus, what would there be to the Christian faith? I don't know, you know, a few songs and some gatherings and some prayer. But not this restored relationship with our Creator that changes everything. And it came at such a great cost to God. It boggles the mind, doesn't it? Thinking about God, the Creator of all things, entering creation so as to suffer and die for you and for me. And that's no exaggeration. That's no euphemism. God did this for you and for me. There's someone willing to take a cross for you. There's someone who has taken a cross for you. Now, there's a big difference between Jesus and the Secret Service, I think, because the Secret Service will protect those people who deserve it. You know, the president deserves such protection because the president has an immense amount of influence, right? The president affects the course of our country, the destiny of nations around the world. The president is deserving of that kind of protection, and so the Secret Service provides it, and men and women sign up for the Secret Service knowing that they might have to give their lives so the president can continue to live. The Secret Service won't do that for you. The Secret Service won't do that for me. Just so you know. Because we don't deserve it. I mean, in that way, right? Can I demonstrate that our lives are so influential that if we die, the course of our nation and indeed the entire world will be changed? No. But Jesus, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 tells us, came expressly for the purpose of dying for those who did not deserve it, for those who could not ever demonstrate enough of anything in their lives to prove themselves worthy of such protection, of such a sacrifice. And you heard it this morning. Christ died for the ungodly, who were still powerless, unable to do anything significant about their situation or the situation of others. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Can you imagine the President of the United States of America taking a bullet for someone else? Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that. I would have a hard time envisioning the president diving over someone, putting his body in front of someone else to save that person from a bullet. The president knows that he's too important for that. I mean, who would be more important than the president of the United States of America for the president to give his life? I mean, maybe the president would do it for one of his children, but still, for the rest of us, who would be that important? And yet, God, arguably much more important and powerful and influential than even the President of the United States of America, has done that for you and for me. How important would the person have to be for whom the President gives his life? How important would the person have to be for whom God suffers and dies? Well, as important as you are, as important as I am. Remember, let's go back to the beginning of this sermon. How do you know if a person is really, really, really important? Well, that person has someone who's willing to die for them. Did you know you're that important? Yes, you're that important. I think the practical implication of this is that the death of Jesus Christ on our behalf is meant to be the foundation of our self-understanding and self-esteem. And I don't mean that as some nice-sounding phrase that preachers often say. I mean that in a really real way. Psychologists tell us that the way we human beings naturally come up with an understanding of who we are and how much we're worth is something called the looking glass self, where we're always kind of looking at other people and checking out their reactions to us. And that's how we put together who we are and how important we are and how much we're really worth. So think about it. For most human beings, their understanding of who they are and what they're worth is made up of a whole bunch of arbitrary for the most part, and sometimes even capricious responses of other fallible human beings. You know, you had a teacher tell you that you were smart or not. You had a coach tell you that you were really good and valuable to the team or not. You had some girl or some boy or some man or some woman in whom you were interested say that they were interested in you too or not. You had a parent or a guardian or some other influential person in your life say that you were really going to go places and amount to a whole lot or not. How much of our self-understanding and understanding of our self-worth is made up of these things? Psychologists say, yeah, well, most of it. Well, what God has had to say about your importance in the death of Jesus Christ is meant to trump, no pun intended, everything else that other human beings have said to you. Psychologists tell us that so much of our lives is trying to work out that which other human beings have said to us, you know? Especially the negative stuff. You're dumb, you're clumsy, you're ugly, you're unattractive, you'll never amount to anything. And people have subtle and not so subtle ways of communicating those things to us. We try to kind of wrestle with that stuff as we come up with our own identity. What God has proclaimed in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is meant to just cut through all of that, I believe. And is meant to go to that place just deep within us, within our very core. And to go deeper even than what other people have said to us. The living God, creator of the entire universe, has died for you. You are that important. Yes, that important.